You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Welcome to the Scum and Villainy Podcast. I'm your host, Richard White, better known as Kelvin Tiberius, a pirate lord of ill repute, and, you know, kind of feeling myself a little bit more. I'm having a good day today, the day we've been waiting for so long. It's Fat Day, and we're going to jump into it, and we're going to jump into it, too, with Lyle Hayhurst, better known as Sozin, ship's quartermaster. What's up, Lyle?
Not much. We're making October 25th a national holiday, an international holiday, a galactic holiday.
An intergalactic holiday. Also joining us is Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, the ship's janitor. What up, Blair? Blair, I know the answer to this. It's a little surprising. On a scale of like 1 to 10, where are you at right now?
I've been down in the boiler room for the past week trying to do this and that. So I'm just hearing all this now, so I guess you guys are just going to have to fill me in as we go along, so.
And then finally, after, I don't know where you've been, but you've been, you know, cleaning, doing laundry or something? I don't know. Mark Fletcher, better known as Sable Griffin, the ship's cabin boy. Sable! Like, no joke, hitting you up and then within, like, 48 hours having, like, a bunch of people say, you know, we miss Mark. That was one of their best feedbacks. But anyways, what's up, man?
Well, I've just spent the last few months finding every Jumpmaster 5000 in the galaxy and filling the torpedo tubes with marshmallow fluff. So, good.
So, and then finally, because I feel like now you're in a position to just feast on everything, Tyler Tippett, better known as Starslinger 72, ship's cook. Tyler, How are you feeling about Racklo at this very moment?
It's a good day to have 1,000 games of Racklo played. Like, I'm just looking back at everything that I've lost to in a tournament in the last year, and all of it's been gutted. Like, nothing's left.
Like, nothing's left to kill you.
Yeah, it's all of my Swiss rounds have been like triple jumps or Kanan Biggs or a random bomb list, which, nah, that's the 1%. I'll take that loss on me.
All right, everything so else. We didn't think that we were going to podcast for a week, but unfortunately, or I should rather say fortunately.
Don't you dare say unfortunately.
Yeah. I said that wrong. I'm sorry, HoloNet. So a FAQ chair dropped, and we have lots of crazy stuff to talk about. So we decided to get on top of this as quickly as we could and go through everything for you because it was an important subject, so here we are. So apologies for not getting too much into some of the stuff that we said we're going to talk about, but we are going to talk about the FAQ. And then we've got, do we have any booty? Has anything changed in the last week? Anybody got anything to talk about? I do want to say that I am 2-0 in the Kansas City League. And guys, like, I know that this is right before I start losing terribly, but I'm feeling myself right now.
Were you playing triple jumps?
Like 6-1 in your last 7 games,
I was not playing triple jump. We played Drunk Wink. Me and Matt Newt played Drunk Wink, the alternate format that we talked about. That was our winner, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, we played Drunk Wink, and I had 3 tractor beams, and it was incredibly satisfying. That's all I'm going to say.
Three tractor beam tie defenders.
Yes. It was incredibly brutal. So that was really fun. Tyler, you've got some Crossroads booty, don't you?
I finished number 1 overall in Swiss. I was the only 6-0 out of Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then it was a lot of fun games, a lot of really close games. And then on Sunday, I played back-to-back Ghost Biggs lists. Uh-huh. And won the first one, lost the second one. Oh.
Huh.
I know, right? Oh, man. And it might not be here anymore. Oh, no. What am I going to do now?
Oh, so it'll be here.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll get into that. So, like, I don't think... Do we have any other booty that... Because I really want to get into the FAQ. Anybody else got anything?
I mean, I got a lot of cool stuff.
Two things
about booty. Oh, yeah, what'd you get? Yeah, what'd you get?
Spotcast Miranda card. So the backstabber. The FFG alternate art backstabber. Custom damage deck that's they had 3D printed that's got Hangar 19 on it that's really nice. A template holder, like one of the magnetic wooden template holders that they all set in, they pop up, that kind of stuff. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I should have won a Lorik, but I had just won, like, a Luke Carrington custom painted Lorik, but I had just won the Spotglass Miranda for going 6-0, and then they were like, and we're gonna do, like, the final two prizes for tickets that I hadn't won anything yet, and they pulled my name, and they're like, here's a Lorik, and everyone was like, boo! Like, okay, fine, I don't want your Lorik.
Aww.
Luke said he has my back if I really want one.
That's a nice result, man, congrats.
What footage you got, Lyle?
So I got two things. In the show notes, you'll find the prizes we're going to be giving out to the Greater Portland Championships. I talked about this a couple episodes ago. We're putting together basically taking the top two finishers of every store championship. We have four stores in the area, and we're putting them together to play a round robin of eight players. And we're giving away, everyone gets custom focus, target lock, and evade tokens. And the winner is going to get a custom set of templates, which look pretty nice, I have to say. You guys can see them in the show notes there. What do you think?
It does look pretty cool.
They look awesome. I've got a question, though. Is there a lesser Portland area championship?
You know, the problem is that Vancouver, Washington, is right across the river from Portland, and they got a store up there. There's three stores in Portland and one store in Vancouver, so that's why it's the Greater Portland. But yeah. And second thing I have is, I'm holding, you guys can't see this who are listening, but I'm holding up, can you guys see it in the video? One copy.
We can't over the radio.
Yeah, it's Guns for Hire. I'm opening it up right now. I saved this moment for you guys, for the booty section.
Yeah.
It's got that awesome red Star Viper, which I'm just, in my mind, I'm going to make that tweak.
Though I still maintain that the original Star Viper is the best looking miniature in the game.
It's cool looking, for sure.
I agree with that.
Nice. Alright, I'm pretty excited, guys. It's time for the Harpoon Missile meta. Bam!
It's beginning just now for you.
I've been seeing it on Vassal for about a week and a half now. Those things are amazing. Alright, that's my booty.
Well, we all were given a massive gift, and I feel like the devs may have been playing coy with us. Who knows? But we did get the FAQ that dropped, and I could not be more hyped up about it. I don't even know where to start. I feel like a bunch of ships were, if you haven't seen yet, a bunch of ships were massively adjusted, and a bunch of archetypes were massively changed. And I don't know where to start. I mean, I think we should start with Biggs. I mean, we teased it before, but Biggs goes from all the time. He can anyone within range one of him. If you can't attack Biggs, you attack him, right? And now he can only do that for one round, and that's it, right? Then you just flip him over, I guess. I don't know. Is it going to be a double-sided card in his reprint? I don't know. It sounds like it would, but. So it goes to one time. And so you can imagine this is a massive debuff. And I don't even know how to comprehend how big this is. Like, Blair, how do you feel about this this big? This is frankly a big nerf.
Well, my personal opinion is I really didn't think Biggs was that bad. But I also, I'm willing to concede him being nerfed, because I've complained about so many things in my day that people might not necessarily be as
Yeah, like, he's just been built in for so long, you're just used to it. Although that doesn't make it okay, just for the record.
Well, that and the type of list Blair likes to fly can handle big lists.
Yeah, that's really the thing. So I can concede. I can understand the annoyance of playing him. But, you know, I really don't know if he's really going to be that bad. like, I was talking to Kalen, and Kalen, oh, what did he say? He said, I just basically asked him straight up, and he was like, you definitely can't run the classic version, but he still thinks it can work. It's definitely got, like, different sets of bad matchups, but he thinks it's still got a little legs, and you think about...
The ability is still very, very strong.
Well, you think about it, in either the Kanan Biggs list or, you know, like, Zach Siegel list, it's like, so the first turn you shoot the crap out of Biggs, you're usually going to do about 3 damage on average. It's going to be about 2 or 3 life, and so next turn, now you have a very difficult decision. Because in X-Wing, the quintessential error is splitting... Exactly. The quintessential error is splitting fire. So are you really not going to finish him off if you got some good shots at him? Are you really going to shoot Miranda and split fire?
Yes, on Miranda. Yes, I'm going to focus fire on Miranda.
So
the answer is absolutely, Blair.
I haven't played...
Kill her in fire.
But I'm just saying, I played Ego a couple nights ago, and that exact situation happened. I got a couple shields on Biggs, and next turn is like, I was thinking back on that. I was like, you know, I probably just would have shot Biggs anyway just to finish him off because I want him gone. So that's just my thoughts on that. So,
I think that if you're flying Biggs, you do not pop him on the first round of combat. Unless you have some fragile ship that's just going to die. What you do is you let them shoot another ship for a round, then you pop Biggs when you're at close range, the heavy dice, have fun then. That's when you have the greatest impact of popping Biggs most of the time. And then you've got 2 ships that are damaged but alive. I think it's a mistake to pop him the first round unless you have something fragile that can easily die in the first engagement.
Yeah, and the cool thing is you can play mind games with your opponent because, you know, will you pop on the first encounter? Will you pop in the second? You have to wait until the combat round to do that. And so any target lock selections or, you know, boosting or barrel rolling is going to happen before they know that Biggs is their target. So it creates this great, you know, Princess Bride poison in my cup type scenario.
Well, it's like when you've got a Connor Ned or something like that, where the first chance you have to use it is not necessarily the best, especially, say, Proton Bomb. The first opportunity to use a Proton Bomb is usually not the best because you want them to have to play around it the entire game. Same with Biggs. If you use him immediately, you've wasted him. It's you pop him when you're going to absolutely save a ship from destruction, or you save him to screw with your opponent's targeting priorities. And if they choose to shoot Biggs first anyway, you haven't lost anything.
Yeah, he still had his ability.
Yep. Tyler, what were you thinking?
So, in a lot of matchups, the ability to not shoot, like, so for example, like an Ego matchup, right? Like, the fact that I can't shoot Miranda for probably 3 turns very much dictates the pace of how that game ends up going, versus if I can shoot Miranda for multiple turns, so I can set up things like Kylo blinds or whatever that I need, because if either of my ships survives and Biggs and Lorik are the only 2 ships left on the board, like, I win. Like, I just win that fight, the game's over, all I have to do is kill that one. And before, I had no chance of doing that, right? Like, I had to chew through Biggs, then I had to hopefully fight Miranda at that point. And there's less, I have less, like, get out of jail free options, basically. So those are all now there, and they don't go away just because you can one round say, hey, you have to shoot Biggs. Okay, you get your one round of fire.
And
I know that at the start of combat. So I also know that before, like, burning tokens and that kind of stuff.
From a higher level perspective, I think it's nice that Biggs's function was clearly to take a ship into the mid and late game. Like, that's the purpose of that ship, and it still serves as that, but it doesn't guarantee it like it did before. Mm-hmm. Like, before, it was, your ship is absolutely going to make it into the mid-game. The worst-case scenario was Biggs dies in the first round. But that, I mean, think about how often that actually happens. It happens, but it doesn't, that's not a common occurrence. It's uncommon that he dies in the first round.
You have to be right. going up against some crazy Alpha Strike or like a full-on swarm crazy, shooting him six times.
Crazy stuff, right? Because you gotta hit him three times with two damage, right? Isn't that right? I think that's right.
Yes, but like, mm-hmm. but crits don't take effect, and you've got to actually get through the evade dice and all the other stuff, mm-hmm. and assume no draw their fire or selflessness.
So you almost always made your late-game ship that you could just custom give to the mid and late game with Biggs, and now that's not... Okay, Biggs is still good at doing that, but it's not guaranteed anymore.
Right.
I don't know. I think that is...
Because nobody else had that ability. No one else. I couldn't take Sunter mm-hmm. and park him in a corner or next to a ship and let him actually be effective the whole game and go, yeah, but guess what? You still have to deal with Sunter at the end game and you can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. I think we would be remiss not to talk about the fact that this also gives the opportunity... Okay, so, because... I don't know if I'm crying wolf or whatever, but it gives the opportunity for them to actually do a T65 fix because they don't have to design around Biggs as badly.
No, totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking, like, you know, Rebels are so good right now that you don't really even need Biggs. I mean, sure, it's great that Biggs is there and he's still going to be effective. But there are so many good options with Rebels. This doesn't really... I think the kind of crutch that, well, the whole faction is built around Biggs, and if we change Biggs, then we could, like, potentially mess up that whole faction is not going to be true. Rebels will be out in force. They're still excellent.
I haven't really been flying with Biggs in years.
Yeah, I mean, they don't need Biggs.
Same with the Blair, too, for the most part.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to say real quick, because I know I especially call out certain design elements or cards... I really feel like they got this one right, because this was this exact fix.
Still seems good.
No one, like, I heard so many Biggs fixes over the year, I'd never heard this specific one, and I feel like this is about the best one I've ever heard, to be honest, so I'm going to give
really
it a chance to play test with some props.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really like about this fix is that, regardless of the actual statistical effects of this fix, a lot of players are no longer going to be running Biggs because they perceive him to be worse now, whether or not he is. Which is going to spark more innovation in people playing things they wouldn't otherwise have tried. Because with this change to Biggs, the question is, do you take Biggs? And if the answer is no, or even if it's yes, then the next question is, do you still take Lowric? Maybe, maybe not. It brings everything in those standard Biggs lists into question, and that's only a good thing.
All right, so I think that's kind of our Biggs breakdown. Let's jump into what is absolutely probably the second big... I don't know what the second biggest is now that I'm thinking about it. Let's jump into...
I have no idea what you're about to say.
Many good ones, and so I'm just going to go to the next one that was in my head. Which is the Jumpmaster nerf, in that they lost some of their upgrades. I believe it was torpedoes and astromechs, right?
Yeah. Like, yes. Both
torpedoes
straight
up gone. And an astromech.
Straight up gone. And it
Get your hole punchers out. Punch the cards.
Yeah, and they thought that the punishing one was going to give an astromech slot, and that ended up not being the case. So it's... they're all gone. Like, astromech is gone on the Jumpmaster, torpedoes are gone on the Jumpmaster, and so that eliminates the torp boat build is officially dead. They've tried, did it literally take three nerfs, or was it more?
Five?
This is what, the fifth?
Yeah, five.
Yeah, I think this is the fifth.
Just like, they just kept trying to nail that thing down, and it just would not take, and now they're just like, fine. You don't even get torpedoes.
Yep.
Screw you. Here's the thing. I think that this is super strong, but I still think that Jumpmasters are, just because of their stats and their costs, still really good. Like, that's one of the ships I still want to take as scum. Just throw it in there, and then I'll figure it out.
Yeah. It's still a great bump master. Like, we didn't lose any ability there.
You can still do trick shot and the
cargo shoot. You can still slip and put.
Intel agent. There you go. Cool. You're done. If you want to, you can do Ion or APL.
Cool, but you can still do Bombmaster. Like, you can still, he's still got the crew. You can put Cad Bane on there. You can still do, like, you lost the Astromech slot, so you can't use the 4K anymore. Mm-hmm. But you still have the Illicit for Scav Crane to get him back, or Burnout Slam if you want to go crazy.
I think that thing would be good with EMP, too.
Sure.
I think this is a step in the right direction, but I don't think it's enough.
Well, Dengar is still going to be really strong.
Dengar has been basically unaffected.
That's not true.
He
lost.
Ordnance Dengar is better. Ordnance Dengar is better than just bare.
That's not necessarily true. But he did lose the fact that he doesn't have unhinged anymore. So unhinged K4 goes away, which is a super powerful. Like, that was a big deal for him. Having the Plasma Torp up front to strip all the shields before he then punches you in the face because you shot him is a big deal. Like, that not being there is pretty powerful, but I think what we're going to see is people will move to a more engine upgrade, Fat Han style play with him, and that's still going to be really good.
Yeah, it could be worse. So it's still good, but I think you're right. It's not as good as it was.
I still think, I said this when we did the Ruddock Fact episode, I still think it's one of the five best chips in the game. I'm watching a deep core game right now, and he's being ran. So, I still think, I'd put him right there in the top five.
But look how slim that Dengar is.
Oh, he's absolutely slimmed down, but I mean, Scum has so many options anyway, you just put it on another ship.
There's a lot of good stuff you can do. Let's just kind of go through, like, the second half of that nerf, which was the Mind Link nerf, which is only, it's, what is it? Is it unique two? Like, how do they call it?
Two.
You can only have two Mind Link ships now.
Well, no, I believe it's, you only two of them can be Mind Linked together, right? Like, you could have four, but it's two sets of two?
No. The card is limited to two per squad.
Gotcha, nice. So that gives us...
You can only have two.
That gives us precedent to do the same thing to TLT.
I think this is the fix that I
proposed.
Please,
God.
Sorry.
This is the fix that I proposed, but it's not as elegant as I proposed, because I wanted them to put two dots there to say you could have two copies instead of the limit two per squad.
Yep.
I think they missed an opportunity to establish precedent for future double dot upgrades.
Yeah, no, I'm super serious. TLT, two per squad, everything's fine.
Yeah, that might work.
So this eliminates almost the core of every Mind Link build, which almost always had three, right?
Yeah, it reduces efficiency by 50%.
You ran it with three. So yes, it does reduce efficiency. I will say, though, that double Mind Link scouts is still good, right? Like, I'm thinking about that in my head.
You lose Agromech. Like, you lose Agromech. So they hit way softer.
Yeah.
They're not bad. It's just they're way softer.
Yeah, but here's the point, guys. I think that if you look at the kind of pre-nerf kind of top three lists, arguably Triple Jump is in them. Arguably. Mm-hmm. And so now that kind of destroys that
there's no argument about that, Sozin. Holy crap.
Yeah. Now, how many other lists are in the top 15 that leverage triple Mind Link? There's only one. It's Paratani at 10.
Yeah.
And so, in theory, all this really Rauboats are 14th,
like,
I guess, if you want to count Rauboats.
Take Paratani out back and, like, just...
Yeah, but Rauboats can still... Well, I mean, the traditional Rauboats can't work because they lose their Torp ability, right? But, like, you can still run, like, a Scout with Mind Link, a Saj with Mind Link, and then, like, PTL Fen, right? Like, you've got to give up some
Mind
points
Link
somewhere.
Still good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like, it can still kind of work. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, this will have an impact for sure, but it's really more part of the triple jump nerf in my book, if you can put an asterisk next to Paratani.
Yeah. Yep. Want to go to the other scum card that is way more important than Mind Link that got nerfed?
Yeah, okay, fine.
So Genius got like a full rewrite, basically.
I disagree that the Genius is bigger than those other two, but sure.
Okay.
We'll save the best for last.
Okay, Tyler.
I disagree for the record.
Says the guy who likes low hit point aces. The bomb's the big one.
So I've played a bunch of control bots recently, and this is the card that messes them up the entire time as well. But
this card, it was too good. Oh, and what I like about this nerf is that this shows the developers are willing to move quickly. Because
so we do need to say what
he hasn't been out that long.
Now.
Yeah, well, let's do the nerf.
They're willing to move quickly when people can't have their move last, reposition, shoot first aces anymore. If jousters suck, that's fine. They can suck forever. People can't fly their aces anymore. We gotta rev it up, guys. Nerf the crap out of it. Let's go.
Such assault. A cynic flare.
Assault. Okay, so basically,
walk us through it, Tyler.
Did we actually put the card in the notes? No.
Yeah, it's there. Oh, the card itself. No.
After you reveal and execute a maneuver, if you do not overlap a ship, you may discard one of your equipped bomb upgrade cards without the action header to drop the corresponding bomb token.
So there's like four things there. The first one is now if you bump, you can't use it. So the old style of Advanced Sensor Nim that just runs into you and drops a bomb on himself and you, but he doesn't take damage because he's Scum Nim.
Kamikaze Nim.
Like, yeah, that doesn't work anymore. The second is you have to discard the bomb, and it could never be an action bomb. It always had to be a reveal bomb. Which means if you want to use it with Bomblet Generator, you have to kick the whole dang generator out the backside.
Or take extra munitions and get it twice.
Yep, absolutely. Or take it. You get a you have one free time to use it, right? Mm. Like otherwise you're deploying it as normal. Okay, seems really good. I like those changes. I wish if you were stressed you still couldn't do it, but that's okay. Like that's probably wishing it going too far, and that's really just because that puts it in line with the X7 nerf from the last FAQ. The next one is you can't do it while ioned, which is huge. Which actually goes back to the control bots that I was talking about, because now you have to reveal a dial.
Right, so, and, okay, so in execute that, what that dial's maneuver just says when you'd reveal a dial.
Yes, correct.
Okay, that follows.
So now you can't do it while ioned, which was the problem, was before is like I could ion you, run into the back of you, you'd float one forward, and then they'd still drop a bomblet on me and still not take damage, and I'd still die. Now, this makes control bots a lot better, and I'm happy with that.
So, I got a lot of... got some thoughts on this card, if y'all want to bear with me. So, out of all the things that Nim, the Advanced Sensors, Genius, Bomblet was the problem. The last round of nerfs, when they nerfed Zuckuss and X7, the whole justification was, oh, you get to do these things, and there's no penalty. And then they come out with a card that's exactly the same thing. There's no elegance to it. There's nothing to set up. You just drop it every single time, and it's free. And it costs 3 freaking points. That, to me, was more the problem, is that you can do it an unlimited amount of times. If it was something like you had to spend an action to recharge it, I think that would have been fine. Because you get the one drop on the ace, but you can't do it back-to-back. Now you have to run and recharge and set it all back up again. That whole time you're getting shot. Now, people said... I mean, just from my standpoint, like, I really didn't think... people were saying, like, Nim was bad for jousters... I mean, I disagree with that, but...
Yeah, he's not terrible to joust. He's just... Because, I mean, when you think about it, if you get him locked with a bunch of shots, he's going to go down.
Absolutely. And if
and
you that's, have...
And he can't regen like Miranda can. He can't regen. So you're just eventually going to kill him.
So, for me, he can't regen, Ricky. And, for me, Miranda is way more oppressive to generics than Nim. Because... Miranda was already pretty much the hardest ship for generics to fight. She can shoot you with this hyper-efficient turret, she can regen, and now she can drop infinite bombs that are boosted by Sabine. Like, how am I supposed to beat that thing when I'm chasing her and she can drop infinite bombs in my face? And I feel like Rebel Nim... I feel like even Rebel Nim was way more aggressive than Scum Nim. So
Blair, Blair, if I may, I have an idea. How about we create a new hit list of cards that are on Blair's list of cards that you want to see nerfed after this? Because as much as I would like to bask in the awesomeness of what we just experienced with, you know, October 25th.
I would love to hear that, actually.
Well, it sounds like he's got one on his list. He wants to get fixed bomb generator, which I agree with.
Well, and speaking of Miranda, we should talk about the final nerf, which affects her in a small way.
Sure.
Which is Advanced Slam.
And not a small way, really. I mean, this is a huge nerf for her bomb ability.
It's pretty small, Ricky.
Okay.
Yeah, for Miranda, this is a minor nerf. For Galaxy Note 7, this is a huge...
Go away. You don't play anymore.
Sorry to see you go.
After you perform a slam action, if you did not overlap an obstacle or another ship, you may perform a free action on your action bar. So it means that if you overlap, you don't get it. It also has to be on your action bar, so you can't drop bombs with it. Miranda is sort of sad about this. Galaxy Note 7 is dead.
Here's the thing. So, Tyler, do you mean by that that... and Mark, I guess, do you guys mean that, like, they can use EI or experimental interface? And so that's it? I think that...
Yeah, 100%.
Let's talk about that for folks.
Limits the next move, though, right?
Well, okay, so we'll back
up for
a second.
Yeah.
Yes, well, no, so back up for a second. So now, instead of taking Advanced Slam, Miranda, in almost every major Miranda list that was using Advanced Slam bomb tactics, you had a huge bid for the mirror matchup, and you want to point Fortress Miranda. So, like, Miranda Nim, right? So now we just put EI on Miranda, still the same point value for her, effectively, because the initiative bid goes on to her anyway. And the time you Advanced Slam bomb wins you the game almost every time you do it. So the fact that you're stressed after that turn doesn't really matter, and more importantly, you're almost always behind the person you're doing it to. So they're not shooting you unless they're a turret. And you're only doing this to kill aces anyway, right?
I think that's true. That's a very good point, but I want to add to that kind of maybe a counterbalancing point, which is that now Miranda has competition for her mod slot. Before her mod slot could easily go with long-range scanners or guidance chips, now suddenly... you know, she has to wonder whether or not she's going to run experimental interface with her Advanced Slam, or if she's going to run long-range scanners or guidance ships. So that's
good. It's the same thing, though, right? Like,
it means you can't have a bombing and missiling Miranda,
but you couldn't before.
Well,
yeah.
If you had advanced
guidance ships on Miranda.
No, if you had Advanced Slams, you didn't have guidance ships.
Because that was the mod slot.
Oh, right, because it's not built in.
She
gets slammed for free.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
all
right, fine.
I mean,
you're right. I'm an idiot.
Okay,
so she already had that choice.
Yeah. You're saying that the reason that Advanced Slam was good was it was specifically good for kill shots against aces, right?
Well,
another areas that you're not necessarily bombing, you're doing whatever the best thing is.
Right. And so, like I said, the small nerf is that when you Advanced Slam, there are times where, like, you're not doing it to bomb someone, you're doing it for positional purposes, and now getting a free target lock after the fact is good. Like, that's basically what you're losing, because you're suddenly not going to want to do that.
The other thing that you're losing is if you take experimental interface, you can no longer slam and then focus.
Yeah, that's exactly. Focus or target lock, you just can't do that.
So, it restricts her a little bit. So she's going to be impacted, but not a huge degree, because there's ways to build her that are almost as good. Experimental interface isn't as good as the old Advanced Slam, but it's close.
And it's the funny thing is you never even see Triple K-Wing anymore, although you would probably more now in an ace-heavy meta.
Yeah, that's right. It would have come back if this nerf hadn't been
well,
in there.
Well, I mean, ace-heavy meta wouldn't be here, because that would still... You'd just die to a multi-bombing K-Wings.
Hey, I've experienced that, Sable, at Worlds.
Right?
I
watched that game.
Yeah,
all right,
so fun. Hold on. Wait, one more point about this. So I was on Vassal last night with Reinhardt. We were, like, talking to someone, and the guy was like, hey, haven't I seen you two on YouTube before? So I went and looked up him beating me in Hoth top 8 with triple U-boats, with torpedo boats. So there's another list that's not going to be punishing those quirky little Imperialists anymore. So I have to say that I'm really excited that that list is gone, because I can start playing 4-ship Imperial again. Bam.
Yeah, no, that's what I no joke, Lyle, like, I look back through my last year of tournament play where I've been flying Desi Ace, and I almost always get knocked out by
triple
boats or things
over
like
the
that.
Last year, I think everyone could look back and whatever they got knocked out at, whatever major event, what have you, has probably been nerfed at this point, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is fun, at least. Like, I'm kind of looking forward to building some stuff. Anyways, what were you going to say, Mark?
So, altogether, I am super happy about this pack. And not just for, these miserable builds that I've been hating are gone. It's that Jumpmasters have been so powerful for so long and so dominant for so long that every time new ships come out, they barely touch the meta unless they've a broken card, because Jump Masters remain on top. Now it's just thrown a bunch of chaos into the game, which allows for list creation, it allows for experimentation, it allows people to be unshackled from these top tier lists that they're used to, and suddenly now they have to think and ponder and explore and try to get and inadvertently get back to what was so fun about this game half the waves ago.
Alright, so ships with arcs matter suddenly again.
So let's go through some of the small, like these, all of these other points would be like major points in an FAQ that we had to like discuss, and they're now on like the and also section. But let's kind of go through some of our favorites of those. Tyler, I do want to ask you about the clarification to the Kylo Ren action.
Sure.
I'll show you the dark side. I think I know where we're going with this, but it did get nerfed, right?
Sure, that is. Huh? It's technically true. My negative play experience, much like everyone else's, officially got nerfed. So don't cry when Kylo comes for you. It's a worse version of Kylo. But basically, what they clarified was if you take a Kylo action against a ship, and you look through the damage deck, and there are no pilot crits, you lose your action on the ship that tried to Kylo action that. Realistically, if you have ever
it could happen.
It absolutely could happen.
Like,
it shouldn't happen.
But isn't that good? Like, doesn't that mean there are a lot of freaking damage cards out? Like,
that's what
that
I mean.
No,
Blair. Very really. If you're playing Corn Miranda, they're dead. Like, that's only seven Hall, and you have eight.
Okay, but if it was like Han Miranda, for example, like blind Han twice, PS0, and then PS0 Miranda, and then they've
still
they
still
got
have three to or four to kill Miranda with? Like,
it could happen. It could happen.
Sure.
So I think that this is a minor
it is minor
for standard play. But once again, I want to point out Epic, where this is a much bigger deal.
Is it though?
You're much more likely to go through the pilot cards, or at least the good ones, in Epic than you are in standard. Just because there are more ships on the board with more hull, you're going to burn through that damage deck.
Yeah, but don't you get to look through the deck when you,
you do.
Fight? So you generally... Yeah. Well, okay, to be fair, they do reshuffle, so...
Yes.
Realistically, so I don't know how good Kylo is in Epic. Is my
yeah,
you know
agreed.
What I mean? Like,
yeah.
Are there even pilot crits on capital ships?
Mm-hmm. No, there aren't. Not that I remember. But I just wanted to point out that there is a slightly larger effect in a non-standard format.
What are you talking about? Oh yeah, you're talking about the Kylo. Sorry, I thought you had another.
Yeah.
All right. So also, I do want to cover the whole. I still think that there have been questions about this. So maybe I don't understand what the questions are regarding. But the lightweight frame and Palpatine interaction. My understanding is, was that clarified to where you can palp the last roll if you want to? You can
no.
do the first two and then the last roll?
Yes,
or...
that's you have to pick one or the other, and it has to go to the dice that you picked. It's been ruled both ways at major events. It's just clarification.
Okay, so yeah, so walk me through this, because I do play lightweight frame. You can do that. You have to claim palp at the beginning? Like
yes.
Okay.
So palp, now that he was changed a while back... you have to declare that you're using him before you roll.
Mm-hmm.
People with lightweight frame tend to pick up all three dice and roll them. That's not how you...
No, it's two
frame.
Then one.
It's two then one.
Yeah.
Now with Palpatine, you have you can call it before either of those rolls, but you have to call it before one of those rolls. And if you call him before the two and you roll two squiggles, you can't use it on that third.
Right.
But
so that's
you,
not
but
what
you
the
can
that's
use it on the set on the second die though.
No,
right?
Is no.
That,
so this
okay?
is what this
but,
is
okay.
doing.
Help me, please.
Yeah.
Teach
so
me.
the question that happened was I should be able to call Palp before a die roll, and then I need to use it on my dice pool. So before it was I could roll two dice, look at them, and then go, oh man, I need Palpatine on this third die, and roll it, and change any of the dice, because it's changing any of the dice
in
the pool.
You would only be able to change that
now
one.
You can only change the lightweight frame roll. So if you call it early, you can only change one of the two. If you call it late, you can only change the after. It's been ruled both ways like 7 times at major events. So because people were basically wanting to have the old school Palpatine kind of deal, where it was like, oh, well, I rolled squiggle blank, and I know I'm taking, you know, 2 hits, so I'm going to call evade, hope I roll one, and then change the previous blank to squiggle.
I think so. Ran into that at Worlds, actually.
Probably.
And
like,
in retrospect, yeah, God bless it. Now I'm angry.
But it kept getting changed. Like, it was at Worlds, yeah, at Gen Con, at Nova, at UK, like, yeah.
This is one of those where the ruling was muddy and had been going 2 different ways by official personnel.
Right.
So they're finally coming out and saying, this is how it works. We're set. We're done. There's no more question. This is how it works. No more confusion.
All right. So what other changes have we not talked about that we should have? Those are the ones that I thought of off the top of my head, but what other sort of things am I missing? Like, Mark,
Sunny Bounty.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mark, you normally are like, hey, but really, really, what about this one?
So, Sunny Bounder is, for the average player, more important than what I'm going to talk about later, but still not going to be talked about quite a bit. Basically, Sunny Bounder allows you, anytime you roll or re-roll dice, after you roll those dice, if you have the same side showing, you can add another result.
So, 3 evades or something, or...
Right. So what they've clarified is that you can't... This does happen after you re-roll 0 dice. Or even if after you... So if you have, say, a hit and a blank, and you reroll it with a target lock and get a hit, you now can add the third one, because all of your dice are hits at that point.
Okay, cool.
Or if you, say, you have target lock and focus.
Okay.
You have a hit and an eye. You can focus the eye to a hit, then spend the target lock to reroll 0 dice and add a hit.
Huh.
Because all of your dice.
But you
hits.
Wouldn't be able to use the focus after that reroll, right? That's unless you had an extra token.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Is if you have both, and you have so you've got a hit and an eye, you've got a focus and a target lock. You can focus into that hit, so you've got 2 hits, and then reroll 0 dice. Mm-hmm. You've got all the sides are the same. You add a hit. That's what it's allowing you.
It to also
it's like. Yeah. That's pretty. That's good, though. That's a good ability.
Yeah.
For 14
it makes
points.
It, better.
It says here that it good. Triggers before HLC. So
yes.
So if you roll 4 crits, you add a crit,
and then change them all to hits. Yes.
right.
Hey,
yes.
that's still more damage,
actually,
man.
No, the it's bad because if you roll. Crit, hit, it doesn't trigger.
Mm. Right, that's what it's changing. Because you couldn't change them all to hits and then add the hit, is basically what they're doing
right.
there.
Well, I'm bummed about Pulse Ray Shield.
Okay, so walk us through that.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah.
This is the opposite of what they were ruling in Vassal, because they thought Garvin had set precedence, but I guess the devs disagreed. So, Pulse Ray Shield is, you can,
why be consistent?
You can take an Ion to, at the end of the combat phase, take an Ion token to regenerate a shield. And a lot of people were asking if they could take the Ion even if they couldn't regen a shield, namely because the Kyrax doesn't have a 1 forward. Or I think, does the Skick have one, not have one too?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so
I don't think it can go slow.
Or they don't have an illicit. Never mind, that didn't count. Never mind. But yeah, so I've been flying Kyraxes.
Pulse Ray's a mod anyway, isn't it?
So it was like it was a backwards way to take a 1 forward.
Yeah, it was a backwards way to take a 1 forward. I'm sorry, the Skicks can't take it. But yeah, and I'd actually been using it, because 1 forward's the best move in the game. So I'm a little bummed about that, but no big deal.
Is there anything else that we're missing? And Mark, I know you said you had a couple.
Yeah, so... This one is a fun one. You're not going to ever see this in tournament play. But Bodhi Rook and M9GA.
The pilot?
Amuses me greatly.
Bodhi the pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the pilot.
I'm the pilot. I brought the message. But they, those two abilities chain. So M9G8 is you can target lock friendly ships to allow them to reroll. Mm-hmm. And Bodhi Rook means that you can target any enemy ship if even if they're out of range, as long as they're at range of you.
It lets you treat all of your allies as if they were you for range distance purposes.
Right. Which means that you can now target allies that are out of range because they're treated as enemies during that step.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So if you've got, your M9G8 pilot running away and out of range of everybody, you can still target lock one of your friends to get rerolls. It amuses me greatly.
All right, I got one. Is there a soft Sabine nerf here? When the when you trigger the mind exploding, I saw people saying that online.
It's not a nerf. It's a clarification to what was really a gray area in the rules. Basically, what people were arguing was that when you overlapped a mine. When you reveal a maneuver, you set the template down, and they were trying to argue that your ship exploded on top of the mine instead of its final location. And now they're just clarifying, no, it's the final location of your ship. That's where Dead Man Switch goes off or whatever. Dead Man Switch is the reason.
So if you fly off the map, what happens first?
If any point of your base is still on the map, that's what's triggered from Dead Man. Hmm. Which is actually a buff. It's super good.
Yeah, no, that's so good. let's talk about
it. I am glad I know that, by the way.
No,
I'm going to use that at some point.
So now, I've clarified that when a ship flies off the board and has Dead Man Switch, Dead Man Switch does go off. Because that was a question for a while.
It was.
Yay!
That had been answered a while back.
Well, that lost Will a store championship. Like he kept having to try to fly over a rock to do one damage, so he'd blow up and kill all of his guys to kill Vessery.
Yep.
All he had to do was just go off the board, and he's fine.
Yeah. So now, if you go off the board, it does go off, but it can your Dead Man Switch is only measured from points of your base that are on the map.
That's okay, though.
Cool.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Does like trig allow that to matter, or geometry?
Yes.
Does it
If you turn 45 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that used to, that's just in line with the ruling on bombs, where if the bomb is off the board, only the parts of the bomb that are on the board are measured from. So it's bringing in a line with that.
So I'm a big fan of that, although I have to like get with Will to rethink the NIM build, to see how that changes, because I'm going to have to ask him. I'm in like a tailspin on what I'm going to run. Just real talk, I am in a dark place. Well, because the thing, everyone's saying A-Wings, and that's not the right answer. I know it. I know it in my heart.
No, you don't understand. Nobody knows what to fly anymore.
That's not true.
This just threw everybody into confusion. So have fun, explore, find new builds, run dumb shit and see if it works.
I'm not changing a thing.
Tyler's like, I'm good, fam.
I didn't include you in everyone.
Ah, fair. Okay. I'm the one.
You don't count. Yeah, you don't count. What other ones are we missing that I'm thinking about? I can't think of anything else that super duper important. Minefield Mapper. Cluster Mines.
We can thank Chris Allen for that one.
They
good
gotta
job.
Be together.
Yeah, well, finally.
Good job,
yeah.
Chris. The giant tower of mines blowing up doesn't work anymore.
So you have to stick the cluster mines together.
Yeah. As dictated by the bomb card that comes with cluster mines.
Further, it does also clarify the extra munitions thing. And we'd had a ruling on that separately, but it wasn't in the fact.
Right.
Where... if you have extra munitions and minefield mapper, you only get one copy out.
Hold
there.
Up.
You can't.
Hold, I actually just thought of this. Like, did we talk about genius and the fact that you have to discard
the omelet generator? Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I just want to make sure we covered that.
Because extra munitions will still help them.
Now you need extra munitions to do it twice. I just want to make sure that got there.
Yep.
Realistically, you're only doing it once, because the second time your bombs are gone forever.
Sure. Realistically, it's you're still running Nim Miranda, and you're just swapping all the thermals onto Nim and putting the bomblet on Miranda now instead.
Makes sense. Is there anything else that that we need to cover? Let's kind of.
The one thing that will matter for some of our listeners is the clarification to guidance chips. Ships with pilot or primary weapon of 3 or higher cannot use guidance chip to change to a hit.
Right.
It has to be a crit.
Must be a crit. And that is very important in specific situations.
What do you mean by that? Like
selflessness.
Selflessness or draw their fire or things like that. Times when you would much rather have a hit showing than a crit, you still have to go to the crit.
Yeah, it seems like every time I play against someone with draw their fire, all I do is roll crits.
Very important to remember, they can only pull one per attack.
Still, yes. I seem to draw just the one for them to regen every turn.
Right?
Yeah, it's like just enough for it to be irrelevant. Anyways, I think that's it. Like, is there anything else that we're missing, Blair, Lyle?
Nope.
There is the Visago ruling.
All right.
Which is kind of important. Where if you switch out... If you have the cloaking device and you switch it out for something else while you have the token, the text about your cloaking device breaking and revealing you is no longer in the game, so you stay cloaked until you choose to decloak.
That's pretty cool.
You lose the ability for your cloaking device to break by getting rid of it.
I mean, that's pretty much how we all played it, so...
Yeah, that's how we played it, but they've clarified it. This is important, so because there are like quad jumper builds where I cloak, I immediately pitch it, I am cloaked for the entire game because I'm a quad jumper, I'm not using my weapon anyway.
Right.
And now I've got 4 agility and 5 haul.
So I do think that feedback array will be back a little bit more with jump masters, and so I do want to point out that you can use it while blinded, which is kind of fun, with the old damage deck.
Right, with the old damage tag. Yeah. Now, you cannot use it while cloaked.
So that was a 50-50. Like, there was precedent to go both ways. There was no good way to, like, be like, whatever. And because that was the other thing you did, is you pitched it on a quad jumper, and then you took feedback array, because why not?
Yeah, right. So now I can zap, and I'm cloaked forever, sure.
All right, so I think that's about it for the FAQ. I know we're going to go into...
I just want to say that I know I've not been on the podcast quite as much recently because I've been burned out on the game. This FAQ is not bringing me back into the game fully, but it is a step in the right direction.
Hey, so long as just you just start me. just keep one step at a time walking towards me is all I need, Sable Griffin. That's all I
right?
need. All right, so I do want to say that we are going to cover, or Lyle, you do want to cover the meta, right? That's something that you want us to kind of go through and call out a new tier list, because we are in the wild right now, and we need to sort of start thinking about regionals, and you want to go into a tier list. That's something that that was something that we're going to do either next time or for the Patreons, right? Like, what was your take on that? Because I have no idea what's good right now.
Yeah, so in the past, we've published spreadsheets that have kind of our top 32 lists, and Ricky liked to organize them by tiers. So you have an S tier, which is like the dominant tier at the top. The ships or
it's
the
from,
list with
it's
the
from fight. It's from old fighting game tier list.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you have a tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3, and then...
The schedule? Can't we just reset the scale so A tier is the best?
because it bothers you.
Instead of adding S,
I think the S stands for Superman. In my
it
mind,
it was super, but yeah,
the super tiers. Yeah,
I'm just waiting for us to add a star tier in front of the S.
I mean, the S stands for star. It's the list I play. That's always on top.
Anyways, I went through and I looked at the top 15 lists, and 12 of the top 15 lists are majorly impacted by this fact. So, we'll talk about Dengar Nim. So a couple nerfs with Dengar and Nim. I think Dengar Nim will still be, I don't know if it's still going to be tier S, but it's going to be tier 1.
I don't necessarily want to give this away yet because we haven't all really even jumped into it. But we're doing that for Patreons first or something along those lines.
That's right. So the what we're going to do is we're going to build out kind of the old pre-nerf tier, which we basically already have, and then the new post-nerf tier, including the Guns for Hire chips, and probably also including probably Wave 12, but maybe just Guns for Hire. It's up to you guys. And we're going to publish that to the Patreons. We're going to give them kind of exclusive access to that information coming into regional season, and hopefully that'll let them, you know, kind of figure out what they should play coming into these regionals, because it's going to be a wide open meta.
So, Blair, was there anything that you needed to hype now, or I'm going to give us each a final thoughts on the FAQ?
Okay, so yeah, we basically, the Minox put a poll out a while back, just asking for feedback, and we basically decided to copy them. And so we've got a...
It's the best form of flattery.
So we've got a poll we'll post in the show notes. Just take a little memento to fill it out if you would like. And we've already got a decent amount of feedback, and we're definitely taking it into consideration. And it's definitely going to have an effect on what we do in the future. So I think we'll probably announce that either next episode or the episode after doing.
Yeah, we were planning on doing that the next episode, but then, I mean, we weren't going to not cover the fact. I mean, it's just too big a news.
Yeah, so just for everyone that filled it out, we appreciate it, and we're definitely looking at it. But if you'd like to fill it out and give us your feedback, we would greatly appreciate it. So
I do just want, because this is a great opportunity, I do want to point out that you did come up with what you want to do for a prize for regionals, right? For beating you with B-Wings?
Oh, yeah. So for everyone listening to the last episode, the challenge, our normal, which usually we let our guests do, and our guest last time was Chris Allen, he issued, if you defeat me, this is going to be active for all the regionals, system opens, and any other major tournaments I should attend during the same time span. Should that maybe possibly be a top 64 tournament that maybe might be happening somewhere in the Carolinas that I maybe might go to? I still don't know yet, but all those tournaments, if you happen to defeat me with a B-Wing, I will purchase you an epic ship on the spot. And we might even throw a little more swag your way too if it happens. So, just like they ever know, that's going to be in full effect. So,
Blair, I asked the world for A-Wings to win store championships, and I got two in like
a week.
Not in a week. No, that took the entire regional season.
It took the whole season. It was the whole season. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of them that did well. They got close.
So. Yeah, so I can't. I hope someone does it so badly, but I think that's hilarious. Like one man B-Wing like meta changer. Just like old Brian.
Well, it's funny too. It's because now everyone's gonna be like, wait, is Blair at this event? Okay, hold on, I gotta grab my B-Wings, and then bribe someone to match you up round one.
That's funny. They go. What is the PS4 B-Wing?
Dagger.
Yeah, they go dagger against Blair, like in the most like Wave 3 meta. Daggers with the HLC and fire control.
Dude, bloody
systems.
Daggers, man.
Yeah.
Death bubbles.
Let's go.
All right, so let's jump into the FAQ, like our last thoughts. We're gonna jump into a lot of really cool fun podcast stuff next episode, including maybe going over a tier list. We're going to do that for Patreons first. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We're going to do a lot of cool stuff coming up soon, but I do want to talk about our last thoughts for the FAQ. I'll start with me. Guys, I don't know what to run anymore because I had sold myself on Jump Masters, and I had sold myself that the FAQ wasn't coming, right? I didn't think it was coming at all. I knew that we saw the leak, and I don't want to get too much into it other than I figured it had been enough time that I didn't know if they were going to wholesale change, but I had hope that Triple Jump Master would be around, and that was going to be my list that I was going to run because it's low PS, and now I don't even know what to do. I'm
Wookiees, dude. Wookiees.
Yeah. I think Wookiees is the way to go. I think that is the...
Wookiees.
Like,
we don't need more Wookiee players.
Tyler, he knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
He knows the truth.
It outjusted our Jump Masters before. It's low PS. It's got a lot of good... It's got control if I want to do it. So there, I think that's where I'm going to go. But here's the thing. Because I don't know, and because everyone's saying, oh, there might be more aces out there, that makes me want to do snap A's. And guys, I just got over this. I've honestly been experiencing stress since the FAQ. Like, the last day and a half, I have been feeling stress, and I think that's like A-wings in the back of my head going, hey, it's a low HP, high PS meta. You want to run some A-wings, don't you? And I don't need that in my life. So that's where I am right now, and that's my thoughts. I don't know who want to go next. Lyle, what do you think about the FAQ? Your final thoughts?
I love it. I think that this breathes real life into the Imperials, and that, you know, the witch is dead. Where triple jumps is finally gone, and defenders can come back, rebel swarms can come back. I mean, we get to see a whole new meta around the corner, and I can't wait to discover it. I am super excited. I can start playing Imperials again, which I'm thrilled.
You could have before, but
I have a four. I know.
I could have.
What about Wampa, Whisper, a Doom Shuttle, and Omega Leader?
Sounds awesome. It's like an A-hole variant. I mean, sounds really good. You can fit that all in?
Yeah.
So it's Doom Shuttle instead of Palp, right? So you free up 5 points there. That'd get you from Jax to Whisper.
It's a TIE ship.
Okay. Oh, a bomber.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, bomber.
Not a Lambda.
Yeah, not a Lambda.
Tyler, you look shocked.
You do that, though.
No.
You know, so how about that? Just think about it.
I think there's going to be a lot of creative list building coming up. We're going to see a bunch of new lists. I hope harpoons aren't too strong. That's kind of my own kind of... I think they're too strong.
Obviously. They are.
Lyle?
Yes, I feel like that's a great transition to Blitter.
Rebellions are built on hope, Lyle.
On hope. Yeah.
Blair, what do you think in this brain?
Well, you know, I'd like to just ask you guys a question, actually. Because most people universally accept that Miranda has been and is still the best ship in the game.
I think so.
I would like to ask you guys what you guys think the second best ship is individually.
Felthrak.
Aww.
I mean, it probably was Nim. I don't know if that's the case anymore.
Dengar is one of them.
I don't know if it is anymore.
It's Dengar or it's Rack.
I would say, honestly, Rack's up there.
It's Dengar. Rack is there.
Let me go look at my super secret tier list.
Dash is still really good.
Dash is still super good. God. Dash is going to come out super hard.
Good.
Miranda, yeah.
Lorik?
Yeah, you know what? I still think Lorik is still really good, even without his bigs, because if you shoot him, you gotta chew through all those reinforces, and if you shoot someone else, they get a free evades, and he's got that 180 arc. I mean, that ship...
Reinforce is obnoxious,
Harpoon missiles, dude.
That chassis is so efficient, like, I still think he's awesome, so...
No, he absolutely is.
Yeah.
And, like, so there was, I remember talking to Zach, who was running Ego for a while, and before he settled back on Biggs, like, there was a long period of time where he had a Stress Hog in place of Biggs.
Uh-huh.
Stress Hog, Lorik, Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
Still good, yeah. So, Tyler, what are your final thoughts?
I like the FAQ. I like what they've nerfed a lot. I feel like it's a step in the right direction. I don't think we're all the way there yet. like the game that I would like to play is where the like the X7 nerf was sitting at, basically, and brought defenders to. I feel like they should. There, I feel like that is the high end of the power level that I want the game to have, if that makes sense. And there's still some things that are over that curve, which is okay. I mean, they're not going to get everything right the first time. I mean, we're close. We're in a better spot. There's a lot more things that can work now in the game that just couldn't before.
Yeah, I'm super excited about the meta. And Mark, I'm going to give you the last word on this, because
sure,
I need to hear it and I want to remember it, and it's the last thing that will be said to me.
So
I mean, not ever. I mean, just in this.
Right.
This has got real
we're
deep.
Assassinating you.
Are you leaving the pirate ship, Kelvin?
This is a mutiny.
I feel like y'all are trying to assassinate me. I know this. I'm starting to get crazy. I'm like the Mad King. I'm getting good, and y'all are coming at the throne. Anyways.
So paranoia is setting in.
Yeah, something like that.
So I like this fact a lot. I think it's a step in the right direction. I don't think we're there yet. I think there's still some problematic ships that remain, some problematic upgrades. What I want, what I hope, is that this fact, they broke a lot of their own rules. The things where you don't mess with things once they're in the wild. They dabbled with it. They didn't do it for a long time. They had to do it with Whisper, and they justified it because it was on the rules card instead of actually on anything. They started tinkering with cards, but nothing on this scale we've seen before. So it's showing that FFG is starting to really pay attention and really start evaluating these things once they're in the wild. And we're starting to get a feel that maybe, just maybe, they're willing to take steps they wouldn't previously. And that can only be good for the game.
Mark, because I know you play other FFG games, and is that something you see? Is that a culture change in FFG? Because it does seem like it's been a couple of games, right?
Absolutely is. Because so the day before this came out, a FAQ for Destiny came out. And if you think this FAQ was extreme for X-Wing, it has nothing on the Destiny FAQ, which just came out and nuked the broken cards from Orbit. The basically came out and said, we're raising these points, which seems fine, until you realize that all of the major lists are now illegal. It was a huge change, and the fact that they had never touched points in the wilds before, we now have seen it in Destiny. Maybe we can see it next wing. Maybe if some of these cards are still broken, we can see a point increase. It's absolutely something that we have not seen FFG before or do before in any of their games. It means that there's hope. It means that there's a culture change. I think this is the first point at which we can say FFG is willing to change their own viewpoints to make their games better.
In X-Wing specifically.
In all of their games.
Well, no, I'd say they a little bit in Netrunner.
A huge amount in Netrunner. They basically said they would never ban cards, and we didn't want ban lists, and we got ban lists.
So yeah, this is like a bunch of games.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
They're doing it
cross
all across
fingers.
The board. It's good.
Cross your fingers about that. All right. I think that about wraps it up. I do want to give a special shout out before you guys toss me out the airlock to our Patreons. We can give a shout out, I guess, first of all, to our number one Patreon, the King of the Midwest and the Ruthless Wonder, Matthew Elijah Williams. Our other Black Sons are Seth Dunlap, Tim LeBeau, Mark L. Tippett. Dad, please give me the Battletech. Please. Now that I've made you adopt me. Ethan Ward, Orpheus, the Zach Matthews Carolina Podcast, Brian Lindenwood, Hassan Codd, Matt the Mighty Newt, Logan, Andrew Cravens, Campaign, Guido Kessels. Wait, huh?
No. Or are you done?
No, I got
oh,
a little
go.
More.
No. There's just another great moment.
Matt Siebert, Steve Harvey. Hold up. Steve Harvey, guys, the nicest guy I've ever met in my life, and Gregory Nussbaum, as well as Hannah Pagan. What do you guys want to say? Sorry, I just want to get that out. Thank you so very much for being Patreons of ours and being long-term ones before we rebranded and gotten better.
If you see me at an event, I can't buy you a beer if you don't come up and tell me you're a Patreon.
Yeah, we will buy you a beer.
Like, just throwing that out there, guys.
So I know we were going to throw somebody out the torpedo tube, but I just bricked them up. So
because we're on a jump master.
Well, you should get the droid to fix it, man. We just need a repair droid.
Well, we don't have the droid anymore either.
It looked too much like a torpedo slot.
All right.
Well, what do you think you bricked the torpedo slot up? All the droids shoved in there, hastened over.
So, guys, thank you so much. Let's go ahead and wrap the bow on this. For Lyle Hayhurst, better known as Soz, and for Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, for Tyler Tippett, better known as Star Slinger 72, and for Mark Fletcher, better known as Sable Griffin. My name is Richard Wright, better known as Kelvin Tiberius. Thank you, Galactic Holonet, and good hunting.